lot happening in our fair world today, as there seems to always be now. Not a day goes by without something huge happening. Shannon Bream is joining us. I'm going to say from the steps of the Supreme Court, because I always like saying that, because I always see her there for the Fox News channel. So just don't. If you're not at the steps of the Supreme Court, please don't tell me you're not.
All right, let's have a don't ask, don't tell then. How
okay.
about that?
That's fair.
That's the route we're going to have to go today.
Okay, because that's the way that I generally, and I have that with a lot of people.
Yes, yeah. It works for you.
Mostly just
wherever
don't.
Wherever you think I am.
There you go. I like it.
How about that?
I like that. All right, so the White House says, let's just stick with the travel ban here for a second. We got a number of things happened at the Supreme Court today, and we should talk about that. But the travel ban piece, the White House says this is a victory for them, although they're still going to hear the full measure of this piece of executive order in the fall. How do you think it breaks out?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can definitely paint it as a positive because the court has decided to hear the case. They're going to look at the extent and limits of executive power, and there was no dissent from that. I mean, they're essentially, from what we can tell, not to get too wonky, but the way they signed the opinion, it looks like all the justices at least in some way agreed that this was something that they need to hear. So they'll hear it in the fall. But in the meantime, a big chunk of the ban is going away. So I think that is a win for the White House, although it's not a complete win because there are parts of the ban that are, you know, on hold for now. But certainly, you know, enough for them to say they got at least a partial victory.
Talk about those parts that are on hold, because I know they mentioned people with ties or relationships to the United States would still be allowed in. So if you had family here, some reason already predetermined, some you're speaking at a university, for instance, that you'd still be allowed. But then new visas, and if you don't have family here, there's this umbrella of people that now can be kept out.
Yeah, it's interesting because they say if you have a legitimate personal connection to an individual or entity here in the U.S., then the travel ban doesn't apply to you. And they gave some examples. They talked about, listen, if you have a visa to come visit a family member or something like that, but they say it's not just a family or a blood connection. It's also students who have been accepted at universities here or an employee who's taken a job here in the United States that was offered to them and they've accepted. Somebody who's been invited to lecture and give a speech somewhere here in the U.S. I mean, they will count that as legitimate reasons you're coming here. What they're saying there, though, is, you know, a big part of what the president has said all along is, like, if you're just some random foreign national person who doesn't have one of those connections or a real concrete reason for coming here, you don't get a blanket entry to just come and because you asked. So in a lot of ways, the administration's saying, hey, that's a win for us because, listen, we don't want to keep out family members and good people and students. What we're trying to do is keep out bad guys. So they say they feel vindicated.
This will be interesting how that's enforced, though.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Critics of this are saying, how in the world do you expect someone to police all this? We all agree we don't have enough border agents and immigration judges and all those things that, you know, take part in vetting this. So, you know, there are questions about that. Who's going to make these decisions?
Other pieces of the politics of this, though, are the kind of the moving target of which countries these are going to be. And as you point out, and this is an important thing, that technically this executive order is calling for a 90-day pause, mm-hmm. right? That's what the ban is. So let's just assume 90 days from today. So we're now going to take it to September 26th or whatever. Yeah, that would be. Then you get, you know, the Supreme Court isn't going to reconvene until October.
Mm-hmm.
So right. At that point, could they declare the thing moot?
Well, they have asked the parties to weigh in on that, to address that in their arguments, because now they'll begin briefing and getting ready for the fall arguments. So they've asked them to address that issue of mootness. You know, are you going to kind of run the clock out on this thing? So they have asked the parties to factor that into their briefs and their arguments as well. So that's definitely part of what they're looking at and considering. But the fact is that because it's not fully going into effect, you got to think about when the 90 days would actually kick in. If you're going to say, we approve it, and so now the whole thing starts, and now the 90 days starts, or it started back on today. You know, the administration's always said when they got a decision from the court, they would, within about 72 hours, get this thing cranking. So we're standing by the White House is deferring to the Department of Justice as, you know, exactly how this is going to kick in. So we wait, but it should be soon.
Yeah. By the way, good luck with all that. Goodbye. I'm leaving. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of what's going on there because there's a lot. I don't know, Shannon, if you've seen the news today, but there's other things happening
sure
too,
she has.
Right? I mean, right. So it's sort of like, oh, they got this through, which was, I think there had been some sort of anticipation that they were going to look at this, right? So at least, you know, the ACLU is jumping up and saying, hey, see you in court. They're mm-hmm. excited about the potential to do this. So even though I think that the way this opinion was written is very interesting because you have Neil Gorsuch. Now siding with the three justices that thought that this didn't go far enough,
right?
The ban, right, in their writings,
right,
including Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Alito.
Yeah, he wrote this portion saying we think it should go even further, and all of the the bans on the ban should go away, and the ban should kick in fully. And it was, I believe, written by Justice Thomas, but joined by Alito and Gorsuch. And people have been, you know, paying attention to the fact that Gorsuch seems to be lining up with Thomas quite a bit. I'd argue, you know, with the passing of Justice Scalia, that Thomas has really been the most conservative one on the court. So the fact that Gorsuch is lining up with him, you know, they go different ways on different topics. But thus far, it seems like he's living up to his billing by the White House as a truly conservative justice.
That's interesting.
It is.
And Justice Kennedy did not announce his retirement today.
No, he did not. And, you know, they can do that any time. Sometimes it comes at the end of the term while they're there on the bench. He said not a thing, but I understand that he has been enjoying the speculation a little bit. You know, he hired clerks for the next term through 2017, a full complement of clerks. He's actually already hired a clerk for the 2018 term, too. So,
oh, wow.
You know, if he's got a plan for going away, he's really covering his tracks. Although any of them can decide at any time they want to call up the White House or send over a letter and say, thank you, and I'm done.
Interesting. The Supreme Court also decided that they will take up next session some interesting and controversial choices here. One being the wedding cake lawsuit,
yep.
Right? Where does a small business have a right to not service a ceremony they don't believe in, which is the people who didn't want to sell the wedding cake to a gay couple?
Mm-hmm. Right, and if you remember much about this case out in Colorado, the authorities who went after this Christian baker who said, listen, I'm more than happy to find them someone. In fact, he did apparently find them, so was absolutely available to step in immediately and bake the cake. They not only went after him and his business and really came down hard on him, but at some point there was talk of sort of like re-education training that he was going to have to take so that he would come up with the right viewpoint. So I think for a lot of people it goes beyond just saying, you know, if you're in the stream of business, should you have to serve everybody? These people who have the objections will say, yes, if a gay couple comes in and wants to buy cookies for me, a cake or anything else, like we service gay people all the time. It's if they ask us to create something specifically with our artistic abilities for them for a same-sex ceremony, we can't take part in that. So, you know, it's really parsed out, and there have been several cases that have come up to the court and haven't been accepted. We knew it was just a matter of time, and I truly think that Justice Gorsuch's vote is the one that made the difference for the court to finally take this case.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Just a guess. They do everything behind closed doors, but just an educated guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Gorsuch is, it's good. I think, you know, here in the first, this is his partial, you know, he's just been there a couple of months, in his partial part of this term.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem, I think it's going to surprise some people, some moderates, some moderate Republicans, who thought that Gorsuch was going to be a little bit more like a Roberts kind of guy, you know, could, you know, might be moving around a little bit. I don't think they ever thought he was going to be a guy that would flip over to the other side like Kennedy, but he was a guy that would be, a moderating voice and move around. It does, in this very short period of time, a short window, it doesn't appear to be the case. But, you know, that's the beauty of the Supreme Court, why it's so endlessly fascinating, because you just never know.
Oh, that's true.
You don't. And, you know, or there could be somebody like Justice Souter who's like, I'm not really enjoying this. I'm out.
Yeah.
So they come from all different places. They take the pressure differently, and there is a ton of pressure on them. And for many of them, you think about the fact that they could be partners in large law firms making millions of dollars a year. That's not what they're getting paid by the U.S. government. They could be retiring with very comfortable lives at 65. Instead, this is really, for many of them, a life's calling, really a passion and a mission. It's a commitment of service to your country because, you know, Justice Ginsburg's 84. Mm-hmm. Justice Breyer, I think, 79, 78, 79 now. So for them, this is a lifetime of
right.
work. And it's you know, something that their families have to live through with them, too. And, you know, it's a huge commitment. And
wow.
so, you know, do you blame someone at 80 thinking, might be time to go?
No.
No.
But no, I don't. Hell, I'm, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm a number of decades prior to that, and I'm sort of saying, yeah, now time to go.
That sounds great.
I don't know how much more of this I can cover. I'm tired now. I never used to be tired. All right, Shannon, thank you very much. Appreciate it, as always.
Shannon. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, too. Shannon Bream for the Fox News Channel. She covers the Supreme Court for them. All right, we have got Violetta Pademana covering the traffic for us.